I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes, streaming on Hulu.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I agree that the Chargers have had a tough 24 hours. 38-10.
Five minutes to go. Justin Herbert in the game?
All the way to the end.
What the blank are you doing there?
I mean, they just got dominated at home by Jacksonville. Four touchdowns with Herbert. What does that do to our power rankings tomorrow? Whoa!
Take a wrecking ball to those power rankings.
Will
I'm
Jacksonville,
glad I haven't been keeping track of them.
Will Jacksonville come in ahead of the Chargers tomorrow? How can they not? Or is that an any given Sunday situation? They smoked them. I watched half an hour of that game. Yeah. The Robinson touchdown, we'll get to the bill. The Robinson touchdown is fourth and inches from the 50, and he just scored untouched. they dominated Jacksonville. And that's after beating the Colts by 24-0 the week before. All right. Overriding question, topic after yesterday's loss, do the Bills have a problem? And the answer maybe is no. But it's another close loss where we're taking turns. What if they had done this? What if they had done this? 90 plays to 39,
yep.
497 yards to 212. The likes of these statistics is rare. Even in games that a team wins by a lot, you know, you sort of pull back. Like the Titan game doesn't look like that in the stat sheet. So it's unusual.
Yeah, to outgain an opponent by almost 300 yards is absurd.
And lose.
And lose, yeah. I mean, that's just bonkers.
So whether it's the goal line stand by Miami, if you want to call it that, or the drive after that ends with Isaiah McKenzie being tackled in the field of play and the Bills can't get the snap off. We talked about that one quite a lot in the beginning today because, for me, like on postgame yesterday, I dismissed a criticism of McKenzie there. And I still don't want to criticize McKenzie, but I did want to take a closer look at it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we did, because I was harder on him than I want to be now, yesterday, I think.
I don't want to be hard on him, though. I don't know if that's what, if you're
no, that's what
avoiding
I mean. Like,
that.
I wanted to talk, I even wrote about it, like, live, oh my God, get out of bounds, what are you doing? That's my reaction, and then we start our show. Right, I'm not poring over replays. I didn't get to watch post game. We do post game, so I go on the air with what is he doing? You got to get out of bounds. It's the most important thing. And then looking back at it, like where he was, where tacklers were, like I think I understand what he was trying to do, and why he didn't just beeline for the sideline. I don't know that he knew he could make it, and I don't disagree.
He might not have made it, but I think it's possible that he does. If he just commits 100% to it right away, and there's a guy right with him, another guy coming on the angle, and he gets hit around his ankle by the first guy, and that ends any chance of his making the sidelines. So then he cuts upfield, he breaks the second tackle also, Xavier Howard, and eventually is tackled, and the Dolphins do the thing. It wasn't blatant in this case where the guy, he gets up, McKenzie. He's got the ball running to the middle of the field for the snap, and somebody sort of tries to knock it out of his hands. Maybe if they had, that would have, the clock would have been stopped. Of course, these are all little things where we've all seen games where they have done that. You know, that's what losing a close game is. It's, why didn't they call this penalty? Why wasn't there this challenge? You know, why did you call this play? But bottom line is Miami did it. You know, like we were, most of us were kind of cocky about the division this year and dismissive of them to a point. And they did it. And they were not bad in this game. This was not as the story of the stats that we talked about, they tell you one thing, but it's not like this was a game where you had four turnovers or something and were just, Miami just, you know, lucked out. I wouldn't quite say that either. I think they were good in this game. I think they were good.
They were. They still, I think, probably should have lost. But they made plenty of plays. Like you pointed out, and I wrote this too, like credit to them, they broke up passes. Even on that last drive, they broke up passes. Like they were, you know, for all the numbers the Bills put up, Miami made enough plays to get them the win. The reason I'm glad to be talking about the McKenzie play is, like, I think you could, like, do the Bills, the overarching conversation is, you know, close games, here it is again, right? Oh, don't worry, it'll fix itself. Okay, well, it's another one, and it didn't fix itself. Here's their first close game, first opportunity to sort of, like, you know, blow that, you know, pop that balloon about the thought that they don't have the clutch gene or something or whatever it is, and it, you know, they don't.
Right.
And so, like, that's still there, and I think you could connect McKenzie not trying to get out of bounds to that overall point. Like, they're not prepared. They don't have awareness. I think McKenzie is exactly aware of what he's doing. I think he knows he's 5 yards or more short of the line to gain for the field goal. So even if he sprints for out of bounds, you're talking about a 64-yard field goal.
Well,
and, you know, maybe that's an outcome you would take rather than having a clock run out on you. I understand. But couple that with not, you know, being aware enough to think, I don't know that I can get to the sideline. And even if I do, I'm short of where we want to be. So let's do this other thing. Like, I don't think he really made a mistake. I think he tried to do the best he could in a situation where he was kind of stuck.
Me too. If you had all the time in the world to run that play and decide, like, what is the most optimal thing here for us, you know, you sort of stop time and you are able to do that. If it is his getting to the sideline, and then you don't kick on the next play, you have 10 seconds and it's third down. And you run another play and you try to get into field goal range that way, you know, with a quick out or something like that. You can't be in the middle of the field, but you lose the same way without doing that. Mm-hmm. They lost that way anyway. So there was time for that to happen. If he had gotten to the sideline, just a sprint to the sideline and commits to it right away, gets there, then they're running another offensive play before
5 yard out. If it's incomplete, then you try a 64-yard field goal.
Right. But you know, you have a chance to get closer first. I brought this up earlier, and I think this would be interesting to hear opinions on, and has been. There's nobody on the sideline. You see it all on the screen. There's nobody on the sideline sort of waving their arms. Not that McKenzie would necessarily see them, but if you agree that that would have been the most optimal thing, you want somebody on the side, maybe the head coach, you want somebody on the sideline to know that and to be doing whatever he can to get McKenzie over here. Because once he gets tackled, especially with, you know, he breaks the two tackles, that just makes it tougher. I wouldn't blame him for that either.
Right.
But
it all just took time. Yep.
And it's interesting to me, and I don't know if it's really deserving of criticism, but you don't see McDermott in that on the clip, on the screen. He is upfield, not super far, but the kicker line on TV was the 40. And the Bills might have thought the same, or they might have had a different yard line for Bass. But for whatever reason, the CBS line was the 40. And McKenzie catches the ball at like the 47 of Miami. And McDermott is up like around the 35. And I don't know why he would stand there for this play or for any play. I've never thought about this before. Like, where does the head coach want to stand? Usually you just see them somewhere around midfield. But he's upfield, so he is not there if he were thinking this way anyway. It's asking kind of a lot, but this is the thing, right, with the Bills, right? This is the thing. Will they get through the playoffs, or will one of these things come up and you'll be like, shouldn't they have known to do this differently? Who knows? I want to say again, I don't know if this is fair, but it'd be nice if you had somebody on the Bills, like across from McKenzie, just in case he sees you and does it, sort of waving him over here. Get out of bounds is our only chance. And you don't have that. And McDermott, he only shows up on the screen coming back toward where the tackle happens as the play is ending. So I thought that might have been interesting. There's also this. So we all saw Ken Dorsey's tantrum at the end of this game. And McDermott sounds like he was not impressed.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised in the least by that.
Are you surprised that he would say it? Let me tell you what he said.
Yeah, all right.
From Sal's Twitter, quote, and Sal will be on at 6. We've discussed it. We have to keep our poise, and he's aware of that. As leaders, we have to be more poised and model that. And he said the other things about admiring Dorsey and loves that he cares that much and, you know, how he does his job. But he was willing to say that's not what we want to look like.
Right.
My words.
Yep. And I'm 100% that's how I feel. Like, I get players like Eric saying, like, oh, I'll go to battle with that guy. You know, I know, there was reason to question whether he cared about his job or was passionate about it. I don't know. I guess I subscribe, and I think I have for a while. Like, you know, don't let them see you sweat. And, like, I know the stakes are large. Like, we all understand. But when you lose it like that publicly, and everyone sees it, I think from now on, this is another thing I think you can attach to. Are they buttoned up? Do they, you know, are they, you know, are they going to have it? Because if my coordinator is, and we already know, right? It was a joke. I don't want to come off like a psychopath and all that stuff from the summer. He'll be in the booth because he's too hot tempered. I don't know. I don't want to think that you miss a play. Now I know it's the end of the game, so there's not another play to call. So, you know, you losing your head doesn't matter in the flow of that game. But I just, it's not what I want to see from anybody in a leadership position, ever. I mean, to me, you lost it, and you can't be losing it. Your job is to, you know, keep things on track. So, I don't know. I didn't like it at all. I had not seen it yesterday when we were on the air and you mentioned it. It happened, and I just sort of – I quickly ran up here and just, you know, got ready to do the show. And so I didn't even – I saw reference to it, but it wasn't until we were done that I actually saw it. And, I mean, it's just it's embarrassing.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. I really think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I do, too.
I don't think that's leadership at all. Again, I'm not there. I'm not a player. I don't need to, you know, go to war with these guys. Like, they need to feel that about one another. But that is not a good moment at all, and it is stuck on him and them until further notice.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I think Kyle Brandt, I saw him, you know, today talking about it, not on their show. It was like some other, like, little, I don't know, podcast video thing. I don't know. Like, he just got a tattoo, and I totally agree. But it's a tattoo that everyone can see, and we're going to see it over and over and over again.
It doesn't have to mean anything, really, to the Bills at all. Like, You know, it happened, and maybe it won't happen again. If, you know, assuming that they want it to not happen again, which is certainly how McDermott sounds, and I would agree. It doesn't have to mean anything to their season.
I would not
make the first step toward, like, that this is something bad happening, you know, or something. You know, you said it already. You said, who knows? Like, if you buttoned up, right? You could say that. You could wonder. You could include this in some category of things that might make you wonder what's going to happen.
If you think we are not going to hear about this every time there is anything to question about a decision that is made on a play call or a big situation or anything, it is going to be a go-to consistently when they miss. Whenever they miss, whenever the offense misses, it'll be, oh, well, I don't know, was Dorsey up there throwing stuff around again? That's why you don't want it. I mean, at least for me anyway. I don't know, the team, it doesn't have to mean anything to the team. You're right. Let's go about their business and do their thing. They all know he's got this temper. They were joking about it, like I said, in the summer. But from the outside, I mean, what are you left with? You're left wondering if this guy is he's just going to lose it. I don't want to be thinking that about a guy that has a job that is that important, but I'm going to be.
Yeah, I don't disagree that we'll hear about it. I just want to I'll be here to make sure, and so will you, whether it's deserved, whether it's really like sort of meaningful in the future. But you know what? I've said this a lot. You've agreed and said it too, that when things go wrong with the Bills offense, he'll be blamed for them.
Right.
And I don't know. Do we have that from yesterday? I guess it's happened a little bit on today's show. They threw the ball to running backs, the read option stuff, different facets of their approach to this game, their game plan.
Yeah, they never found a way to crack the Dolphins really down the field. It's funny, I made this point earlier, and then I think going to the break, we heard maybe the longest completion of the day, which was a pass down the middle to McKenzie. But mostly, Miami defended that. And so, I mean, they piled up so many yards, but it was all – they never had that moment where they were able to lightning strike. I think, it's a loss, so there's always, they should have run it. They should have passed it. The stuff at the goal line on the penultimate possession of the game for the Bills, there's questions about it. I just don't think Dorsey did himself any favors with people that are ready to criticize him anyways because he's not Brian Daboll.
So what is the defense of Dorsey that I'm seeing today? Like, the one point overall that it shows he's competitive. Man, what I take exception to is that somebody who doesn't throw a fit isn't right. Competitive, right? Like some of the greatest champions and athletes and coaches throughout sports history, they're not throwing fits. Like they're able to keep it together, and they would never be accused of not wanting to win or anything.
Yeah, I would never assume someone that I'm competing with. I mean, it's silly in this context to even put it that way, but or that I'm watching compete. Like the person who loses it. I think I've got him.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
Like, I've got you. You know, don't let him see you sweat. I know. It's one of the oldest sayings in the book, but that's where I'm at. You, if I can think that I made you do that, that's a win. That's a win for me. You lost it because you couldn't handle me. Win. So don't. Give them that, just don't give them it. Are we talking about this today? If they show Ken Dorsey and he calmly folds his laptop or whatever he had there and walk, takes off his headset and walks away, like, you see him? He doesn't even care. I mean, you'd have to be a maniac to make that point.
It is made.
I know. I would never ever assume that. And so, I don't know, doing the opposite is not helpful. It serves no purpose at all.
It was after the game was over,
mm-hmm.
If that means anything. I wouldn't want it in my coaches, either. I've said that too, but we'll see. At this point, I don't want to morph their offense and that tantrum. I don't want to combine those things into something that tells me that they're going to have a problem. I agree with you completely when you're competing with somebody or any of that, the same thing. That feels like an advantage. This is the end of the game. And I wonder if he's embarrassed. I didn't see that today. He did give a quote. It's on Sal's Twitter. There is a quote from Dorsey about the game, but I didn't see anything from him about this.
I saw I have to learn from it.
Okay.
I think I saw him say that.
Okay.
I want to learn from it.
Better than, like, what's the big deal?
Sure.
All right, here's Joe on WGR. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Joe, thanks.
Curious what your take is on this. So I understand that turning around from a Monday night is always difficult, right, to play again on Sunday. But given the fact that our first game was on Thursday night and our second game was on Monday night. It seems to me it would be tough for Buffalo to establish any type of routine. Just curious, like, how you guys think that might have impeded our performance.
I would not think at all that it would have impeded their performance, but I think there's a certain logic to what you're saying, that your routine doesn't really get established. And we know this coach to be very routine-minded. Maybe a lot of them are. Maybe they all are. So it's maybe a little bit of a different challenge you have. The problem you have, though, is that every good team gets treated this way. Right. The better you are, the more night games you're going to have. You're going to play on Thanksgiving, and you better be able to figure that out. And in the last couple of years, when they've been in primetime more, they've been great in those spots. And they were great the first two nights.
It's a very particularly tough set of circumstances, given the number of injuries they had last Monday night against Tennessee. Short week in the conditions they had to play in. Like, it's a perfect storm. This is aside from the routine point, although that holds too. But whether they had played, had more time, maybe that would have made a difference for some guys like Poyer, maybe Mitch Morse, I don't know. So short week is a problem in and of itself. And then you've got the irregularity of the schedule to begin the season. They'll get out of that. They'll settle in here. I mean, these games will now – this week, I bet you will feel like a short week too, with all the injuries they've got and all the guys they need to recover. Like, we're going to be exhausted reading the injury report because there's so many damn names on it.
Miami as well. Miami plays Thursday night in Cincinnati. That's travel also. And they're probably a little bit tired,
I would think.
Yeah. after yesterday. Thanks, Joe. 803-0550 for your calls. More after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Fourth down. Jamison Crowder, the return man for Buffalo. The snap to Morstead. This kick is partially blocked high into the air. The Bills, it'll sail out the back of the end zone. It's a safety. It's a safety. And the Bills had two on the board.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.